broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans, Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for January the 15th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That's our guide, and absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. One of the great peaceful, restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution, stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Yesterday, we talked to Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. We talked about the update from the Utah Eagle Forum annual convention. Mike Lee says the central government has claimed outlandish authority. He talks about the NDAA, the violation of our rights, and more. Good for Senator Mike Lee. While we must defend our country, we must not support the war in Yemen. He also helped pass a war powers resolution to end support for that war. Good for Mike Lee. Joe Carey talked about Elijah, the prophet of the Old Testament. What do you know about Elijah, folks? From humble beginnings, Elijah became a prophet of God with no fear. We need to have no fear. We need to get anxiously engaged in a good cause. Gail Rozica encouraged us to warn our children against THC syrups. They're putting them in drinks and carrying them around, and it's just kind of a strange deal. An oligarchy of thieves, writes Chris Ann Hall. Federal supremacists are out of control. The general government has only those powers enumerated in the Constitution. The federal government does not have the authority to determine the limits of federal power, since it is not a party to the compact, but a creation of the compact. In other words, the states made the Constitution, folks. That's the compact. And the federal government has delegated authority, but the federal government isn't party to the compact. The states are, right? The Supreme Court is part of the federal government, not over it. And understand that the Supreme Court possesses no power above the other branches of government, right? And certainly not greater than the authority of its creators, the states. But see, you got single judges just flat out of control right now. No one's doing anything to rein them in. None of the checks and balances seem to be brought to bear to rein in an out of control judiciary. To allow the federal government, i.e. SCOTUS, to determine its own limits is contrary to the Constitution, to the principles of the Republic, and to the defined, limited nature of the federal government. The federal government cannot write laws that are contrary to the Constitution. In light of these facts, it is impossible to accept the notion that the states are mere political subdivisions of the federal government. No, states are party to the general contract. They're the ones that created the federal government. The creation is never greater than the creator. Hour two, Liberty Roundtable Live. SWAT, S-W-A-T, is a 2003 American action crime thriller film. Kurt wants you to watch it, but he wants you to use Clear Play or some, you know, VidAngel or something, so you can get rid of the bad stuff. Our guest, Scott Bradley, chimed in to preserve the nation. FreedomRisingSun.com, his website. And Scott Bradley discusses the danger of a con or a constitutional convention. Also talked about the dangers of Donald Trump's new, USMCA? Yeah, that's the new trade deal supposed to replace NAFTA. Donald tells you how incredible it is, but basically it's the TPP with a new cover, folks. It undermines the sovereignty of the United States. It submits to a world governing body without United States congressional consent, and tolerates illegality. Folks, you got to look at Section 8, Clause 3 of your Constitution. Congress is supposed to negotiate these trade deals, not just the Donald in some vacuum with a world global elite leadership. We also talked about inside the newsroom, fighting a moral imperative to deceive. Wow. That's a candid statement, huh? Who's that from? Guy's name is Doug Wilkes. He's editor of the Deseret News. He's saying there's a problem here. We're all being pushed to intentionally deceive. Boy, howdy, that's been going on for decades in the mainstream press. And I'm telling you right now, until we get that back under control, I don't believe Americans can make proper decisions. They don't have the information to do so. That's a recap of yesterday's show. It is still available at Liberty Roundtable Live. LibertyRoundtable.com. It's free. Spread the word. Share it with your friends. Tell the tale of liberty, would you please? Without further ado, Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome. Kirk Crosby has been giving me, we've been probably covering two stories a day. This is a reference, not a fact. Two stories a day. Kirk's been giving me 10. So we're going to play catch-up time. We're just going to rifle through about 30 of Kirk's stories. Governor Jan Brewer, Kurt. Isn't that the
former
governor?
Well, this is the Arizona governor, I think.
It's a governor right now?
Maybe she's not the current one, but I know she's, you know, kind of an Arizona big shot. And
yeah, you'd have to research,
you know, she
this.
Basically,
I'll research this
she
while
basically,
you talk.
Very good. You know, she basically says, hey, you know, the headline from Breitbart, our country is going to collapse without border wall. And, you know, she's pretty close to the situation as a border state governor, you know, Sam. So I think she knows where she speaks.
Well, do you think she's right?
Well, I think it's in, you know, kind of basically a collapse mode now as it continues the invasion of, you know, peoples, and it, you know, drops, lowers itself.
By the way, it's Doug Ducey,
I think.
Who's
is the current one
of yeah. Arizona?
Yeah.
So the former governor.
I know she. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, basically says that the. Our country is going to collapse without the border wall, and I don't agree with that at all. Like, she's off her rocker up in the night, and I'll tell you why. We haven't had the border wall for, what, how many years has this country been going, Kurt?
Well, we started in 1789, or 87, I mean.
Yeah, that's right. And we haven't had a wall the whole time, right? Or did somebody take down the wall at some point in history I'm not aware of? And so what I'm trying to get across is this. The idea that we want to suggest that Chicken Little's running around and the sky is falling is what both sides have been guilty of, and they're both wrong. And we got to step back and say national security, if this is her point, is critical and important for the safety and security of the American people and for the proper defense of the greatest nation on the face of the earth. She's absolutely spot on, Kurt. But in my mind, the when we go too far, it's kind of like saying this. You know what? Dishonest money, fake money is not sound, and it'll eventually lead to trouble and eventually lead to a meltdown. It's a wise statement. It's true. But to predict the time that, oh my gosh, the economy is going to melt down tomorrow if we don't get, you know, rid of the Federal Reserve, it's just irresponsible rhetoric, in my humble opinion. So I appreciate the point that she's making that national security should be taken seriously. And if we don't get a handle on this, it does spell danger for the American people. I agree completely with her point. But I'm just hesitant when we start saying that our company is going to collapse. What would a collapse look like in her mind? You know what I mean? And that's kind of where I start to have a concern. Any other thoughts on this one, Kurt?
Well, I'd probably have a lot of thoughts, but if we're going to do all those news stories,
yeah, go ahead, though. Finish,
pretty much
finish on
impossible.
This one.
You know, in the early days of our country, as far as I know, there were no countries with, like, suitcase nukes, different things like that, that could, I guess you could say, cross the border, access the border, you know, that type of thing. If they tried, I think most of them would just die trying to cross through there. But now, with the different methods and modes of transportation, etc., you know, you got a different kind of situation, if you ask me, on the southern border.
All right.
And then with all these other, what do they call them, OTMs other than Mexicans that are trying to come across, you know, whether it's, I mean, we got some of our actual enemies that are trying to get into our country through there.
All right. Interesting stuff, ladies and gentlemen. I agree we have a different situation on the border, but I maintain if we don't keep God's laws, we're not safe no matter what we do. And if we keep God's laws, I think he can guide us and direct us and protect us and help us be safe. So before a wall, I'd promote, you know, God personally. But that's just me. And I'm not saying a wall is not important, but I'm also not sure how we're going to build a 2,000-mile wall. Even Donald's proposal of $5 billion, which he can't get done, how many miles of the wall is that going to build, Kurt? Any idea?
It seems like I've heard like 700 more miles.
So what do we
like
got
that.
Now built?
Well, it seems like I've heard something like 200 or whatever in certain places. I'm not exactly
even
sure.
If we got Donald's wish, full wish, we wouldn't even be halfway, right?
I know this, that the way that I understand, I'm from Arizona, but I've not, you know, just inhabited the wall or anything, but that you got different terrains and that kind of thing. More frequented migrant zones or areas, you know, to slow them down.
Yeah, there's certainly areas. And that's why I say that I don't want to get tied up on a wall. I think national security is important. And I really think the 2016 events for the Republican and Democratic National Conventions were a pretty good example of what ought to be done.
We fought. We learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Recent studies show that parents who smoke in the home are more likely to have children who smoke.
Yes, in fact, my brother, he's 22 now, he told me and my father that's why he started smoking. One of the reasons why he started smoking is because my dad was around, you know, and they saw my dad smoking. My dad said, okay, I don't want you to smoke. I don't want you to watch what I'm doing.
Recent studies also show that in homes where parents don't smoke, their children usually don't smoke either.
I am the way I am because my grandparents taught me what not to do. They gave me morals. They gave me belief. They gave me something to believe in. They just taught me well. I love them. I do.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I do think declaring a national emergency on the border is the right thing to do. So when I say that I'm concerned about former Governor Jan Brewer's comments that our country is going to collapse without the border wall, I never want to preach the collapse of the greatest country on the face of the earth. And so I want to be careful with that rhetoric. But at the same time, I do agree that a national security crisis is happening. I agree with President Trump on this. From drugs to sex trafficking to all kinds of things. And as Kurt wisely points out, you know what? I mean, they can bring a suitcase nuke across the border fairly easily. So there's no doubt this is a security crisis. But sadly, Donald Trump retreats from declaring national emergency over the wall. I'm disappointed in that, Kurt. I wish he would declare a national emergency. I think it's necessary. I know some folks that are conservatives are saying, oh, we can't do that because then they'll declare a national emergency over everything. They're going to do that anyway. But there is a right time to use it, and I believe that our border crisis is one of them. So I think it's a critical national security issue. The reason I bring this up is not to argue about the points of it, but at least to advocate for solutions that work. And I think just boiling it down to a single wall, or, you know, hey, is the wall going to be cement, or is the wall going to be metal slats, or is the wall going to be see-through? I don't really care. Because I think that, as Kurt just pointed out right before the pause, it's important to understand that a variety of solutions are the answer. We don't have to have a 2,000-mile wall. And that's the reason that I spend time on it, to say we don't have a lot of it built. Not to down the president or say we're so far or that we can't accomplish it, but to say I don't know that that matters. I think that the sections of the wall Donald Trump wants to build are viable and necessary and vital and critical. And just because we're not going to get a 2,000-mile wall, don't let that deceive you into thinking it will make no difference. Even the liberals say, well, a lot of the drugs come through, Sam, come through the legitimate checkpoints and vehicles. That's right. So build walls to prevent them coming from other places. Harden your checkpoints to make sure drugs don't come through. Tighten border security everywhere, the wall being part of the solution, a necessary part, I might add. And so the more I learn about the border and the more I get information from guys like Stuart Rhodes of Oath Keepers and everything, the more I believe we can put together a sound understanding of what needs to be done. Before, I used to say I'm not for a wall. And I'm not for a 2,000-mile solid high wall like a communist country would have. I'm not for that. But I am for strategic positioning of portions of a wall and of barriers, or whatever you want to call them, that would deter illegal activity, period. I am for changing our laws to increase legal activity. And I'm not agreeing that our country is going to completely melt down if we don't have a wall. Our country's not going to collapse, but there is imminent danger. Kurt's right about that fact, big time right. And so I'm disappointed when Trump retreats from declaring national emergency over a wall. I mean, we declare national emergency when a hurricane hits or something. We got a hurricane or a tsunami of illegal activity on the border, big time. And so Kurt is spot on this. And I think we can take an example, Kurt, of the 2016 Republican and Democratic National Conventions. Do you remember how they had security there, Kurt?
Yes.
They had sections. It wasn't all just one big wall, right? There were multiple layers of security, and there were, I don't know what you want to say, but there were multiple lines or multiple checkpoints or multiple. Okay, so way on the exterior, you had to go down to this end to continue. You couldn't just anywhere go. You had to go down to a certain spot and then go through and then go to the next spot and go through. And then the next spot, you'd have to cross a street and there'd be some police officers. And then you'd cross another street and then you'd have to go through a checkpoint. And there were, and everywhere you were around these buildings or this event, there were different details or different circumstances employed with the different terrain that was around, right? And we praised.
Yeah, I would say the chain link kind of fences were probably 12 to 15 feet high. That, like you say, they channeled you to certain areas. Now that, you know, I mean, if you were like the A-team, of course you could fly in and just, you know, not deal with that, I suppose. But then they probably had plans for any of that. But for us, you know, ground dwellers, you know, just walking along, that's how that worked.
And my point isn't that it ought to be identical on the border. What I'm saying is that we ought to use the same kind of tactics employed, which is a multi-layered security plan. In some places there were fences, and plus some places there were walls. In some places there were natural buildings, and to some places there were a checkpoint. In some places there were police officers, and it was all designed to control massive surges, or whatever you want to call it. And so once you got through this one place, then, you know, you could literally block a place off and you know, let's say there was 50,000 people. You could block off in about 10 different spots, 5 or 10,000. You could limit the crowd and control the crowds and things. My whole point is that it was multi-layered, multifaceted. It wasn't just a fence. It was a variety of different things. And I think the same idea, now I get it that it would be slightly different because it's bigger and longer, but the same ideas could be employed, in my opinion, for if we're going to have an honest discussion about national security, the border wall being part of that. Wouldn't we have discussions like this, Kurt? I personally think they worked really well. There was no abuse going on, as far as I could tell. The police were very polite. We talked to many of them. The security worked very well. In fact, we even talked about how pleased we were that they didn't really violate your personal rights. that they had a pretty good hands-off approach, but a pretty good handle on security. We were impressed, and we talked about that at the time. And I think we could do a similar thing, obviously a bigger scale, on the border, Kurt.
Yeah, you know, at least when it comes to the walls, I understand, you know, for example, you got the Berlin Wall that, you know, was pretty much a wall to keep the people in, if you will, you know, that kind of thing. But when I see, like, the Great Wall of China, the 13,000-mile one that was built a long time ago, you know, I see a lot of protection there. And then I see the Israeli system that Ann Coulter talks about. You know, there's... If you cut the drug lords out and the human smuggling out from going across through those protected areas, I think you stop a lot of havoc both on both sides of the border.
I think you're right. And that's exactly why I'm talking about a multi-pronged approach or multi-faceted approach to this, right? I'm not here to attack anybody or say nothing works. I'm here to have an honest discussion about how we can really do it. And I personally, the best example I know of is the conventions that I went to. I thought that was very well ran, personally. There was very little disturbance. There was very little problems. People felt free. I felt free. The cops were very nice. And, you know, but there was a lot of police officers there. There was a lot. And I think that we could have military on the border just like that. And we could have we don't just have to have one spot. We could have multiple, I don't know what you call it. Security layers might be the best description that I can come up with that would help this cause. Now, they say also the government shutdown soon could cost more than Trump's wall, Kurt. Did you see this?
Well, there's a cost to everything, and I'm sure they're... analyzing that, but there's, at least in my opinion, there are those, you know, they're unwilling to bend, and I see the president's spot. I don't really see the other side, just because, at least to me, they've been willing to pay for this thing many times, but now it's all about letting... I guess you could say letting him have a win. It just, you know, seems like it would be a win-win for our country and for all the people that get, injured because of all the border activity, whether it's the drugs and the havoc that comes from there, or all the smuggling of human
trafficking
and everything else, you know.
If you're a political hack, Kurt, it's a win for the Donald, and you can't have that.
I understand.
On the other hand, if you're for America, then I don't see how we can't agree that national security should be very, very important and one of the appropriate, proper roles of a constitutional republic. I think Donald's right on this one, and I think he's going to win on this one over time. And I the reason that I bring up that the shutdown is going to cost more than Donald Trump's wall, government shutdown soon to cost more than Trump's, you know, border wall, this is an example of these people are going to get handed their heads on this. Why didn't we just fund, you know, the national security agenda? Why don't they just fund it? It's $5 billion. And then why don't we talk about how to go about it and have everybody put in their comments and have a realistic debate and let's get on with the business of the country. I think Trump's right on this. But I don't like the rhetoric that says, hey, the government's going to collapse. Everything's going to melt down. The whole world's coming to an end. I don't believe in any of that. America's one of the most resilient, greatest countries on the face of the earth. And I think we need to declare a national security situation. And I think we need to put together a real security plan for the safety of the greatest country on the earth. Let's get it done, people. Come on now.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency.
We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
All right, it's Sam and Kurt, PG&E in trouble, huh, Kurt?
Yeah, and you're familiar with PG&E because you're a Californian as far as that goes, I think.
It's just a big old government / private fascist utility, right?
Yeah, it stands for Pacific Gas and Electric, and the reason the headline reads Pacific Gas and Electric to file for bankruptcy amid mounting liabilities from California wildfires. And, you remember a little while back there was some pretty good wildfires in California, including burning complete cities, that kind of thing. Towns, like, for example, one of them was named Paradise. I don't think it was much of a paradise after the burning. But anyway, they say that a number of these, there were, I guess you could say, liabilities for the PG&E from some of the sparks, I guess, or whatever. And so now they've got a whole bunch of lawsuits and this enormous litigation and liabilities that are estimated, they say, which could reach as high as $30 billion. So they're pulling out the old, they expect Chapter 11. But they do expect to continue to service and supply electric or natural gas service for their customers. So I don't know exactly what it all means, Sam.
I'll tell you what it means. It just means that they get a pass and they get special privilege at the trough of, again, government protection. Right?
I'm pretty sure that's the case, Sam.
Yeah, is that good?
Well, you know, in this case, there's nobody else. We've come to where we supply things like electricity and gas in these big operations, and there's no other competition for them, really. We've embraced that through our country, and I think that puts us in a bad spot. And I wish we would have embraced, you know, local kind of things and, private. I'm talking about, individuals with the opportunities to provide their own power and their own gas, et cetera, you know. But we just don't have that set up. So I suppose it's at least necessary while we try to move to those kind of solutions.
Yeah. There you have it. Anyway, in my opinion, we shouldn't be depending on some big, you know, government/private partnership for utilities in the first place. And I don't know that the bankruptcy means much because they'll continue to supply service. What I think it means is the taxpayers will be fleeced for the shortfalls, right, Kurt? So you'll pay for part of it on your utility bill as you've always done, but then the shortfall will be paid somehow through the back end of the BK courts, right?
Well, yeah, and in the end, who's really going to pay? It's kind of like when you get ravaged by your government and you win a lawsuit against them. Who pays that? That would be all the taxpayers, you know. And rarely does the individual that's liable for the problem have to be paying for any of it, right?
Yeah. There you have it.
By the way, the stock price plunged 55% in early trading. So I suppose there's an opportunity to buy low and maybe sell high later. I don't know. What do you think, Sam?
I don't know. All I know is it's just another way for you. I guess if you're in the stock market, you get fleeced. If you're a taxpayer, you get fleeced. If you're anybody but an inside executive at this place and or government entity that's partnering with them, you get the shaft, right?
Good point.
I mean, that's as far as I can see. That's how it's going on.
You know, what I'm amazed at is that it plunged 55% at this time, and I'm thinking somebody probably had a heads up that there was going to be troubles there.
And so nobody bet
somebody would have voted or, bet on the short.
Yeah, nobody profited thereby.
You know?
Come on now.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Kind of a conspiracy theorist, are you?
The big Soros guys never made any money
on that. But again, there's never good answers when the government's involved where it ought not be. So.
Yep, good point.
And the answer, folks, look, let's decentralize. Let's figure out ways that people can have electricity that doesn't depend on this. And you'd say, oh, well, Sam, electricity is a lot more expensive if you don't have the government helping and subsidizing. And, oh, yeah, I don't know that I believe that's true. Well, Sam, solar panels, and, you know, it's a lot more money if you do it by yourself. That's why nobody does it. Yeah, but how much is this BK on the back end going to cost? And when you really figure out the whole thing, is it cheaper to have government involved? And I'm telling you, study after study after study says no. So mounting liabilities is the point. At what point do individuals, you know, hey, you could have electricity, we'd probably have a lot better, less power-sipping devices had we not had electricity so abundant and cheap in the first place, right? The environmentalists complain that we're using too many devices and stuff. But you would have devices that were a whole lot more friendly to electricity if we were forced to be creating them from the get-go that way, right, Kurt? Anyway, it's just an interesting debate, but I'm convinced the answer is every time we can get government out of it and have the people be more independent, more self, what's the word I'm looking for?
Self-reliant.
Yeah, self-reliant. Thank you. Self-reliant, the better off we are. Folks, that's just a reality. Speaking of that, China posted a trade surplus of $323.32 billion with the United States in 2018, despite all of Donald's efforts and trade negotiations and tariffs. Right, Kurt?
Well, that's what the report shows. Basically, it's a third of $1 trillion that they sold more goods to us than we sold to them, the way I understand it. And So, you know, it certainly means to me that there's a lot more, I guess you could say, if we're going to have this thing on an even keel, a lot more to be done.
Yeah, here's my point is that Donald's done a good job. The problem is he just, you know, maybe the problem's a little bigger than he thinks it is.
Maybe.
You know, or maybe he's behind the scenes working on it.
I mean, it's pretty easy to see when you buy something that, I mean, it's a rare thing to find something that you're buying that doesn't say made in China, Sam.
Amen to that. You know? And that's why I say the problem might be bigger. It also might be that Donald is still working on it and backing in. It takes time to work through these things. We didn't get this train wreck of trade deficits on our end overnight. It's been in the making for what? Kurt, since the early 70s, so 50 years or whatever almost, okay, or 40 years plus, whatever. Okay, and so, you know, you got to give Donald a little time to work on it and dig out and change the game and stuff like that, right? So I only bring that up to say that I think there's efforts being made. I agree we need to go faster. I understand that. I also don't want to undermine the efforts that are being made. All right, cancer expert Kurt dies hours after getting the yellow fever jab. Guy was a big old cancer advocate, went ahead and took the vaccine there, vaccine advocate just takes the jab and dies. I guess he's not advocating for vaccines anymore, Kurt.
Good point. This is the source of this story was the Times of London, and the WorldNet Daily guys brought it forward after that. They reported this guy, Martin Gore. I don't know if it's Al Gore's buddy or not, but anyway, they call him a pioneer in cancer treatment.
There's a lot of Gore when he took the jab, I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah. Anyway, he died suddenly after a routine inoculation for yellow fever. The report said his death highlights the increased risk associated with the vaccine for the growing number of older travelers visiting exotic destinations. Kind of makes you want to stay home. They say the shot is recommended for people traveling to parts of Africa, the Caribbean, and South and Central America. This guy was a professor of cancer medicine at the Royal Marsden NHS Foundation
that's how I got mixed
Trust.
Up the cancer anyway. Piece, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, good it was point. Really something to... Anyway, Ted Cruz in the news, Kurt, and he explains how he's going to make El Chapo pay for the border wall.
Well, yeah. You know, the bottom line is, you know, there's a... He's even got like a 3 minute and 36 second... YouTube to, you know, go through it, but
I downloaded it just for you to play it for you. Ready?
Oh, okay, thank you.
Didn't you want me to do that?
If you would like.
Well, I don't know. Kurt sent me the YouTube, but he didn't tell me what he wanted me to do with it. I don't know if he wanted me to give him a copy.
Well,
if
I try not to make you do everything.
Well, you can propose what you would like.
I figured, you know, you'd listen to it and see what you thought.
Well, okay. I haven't listened to it yet, but I thought you wanted to play it, so here it is.
What the El Chapo Act does is real simple. It takes the money, the billions that El Chapo made crossing the border illegally, and it takes that $14 billion and it uses it to pay for the wall.
All right, we'll come back and we'll play that whole soundbite. Ted Cruz on fire. We'll talk about it. Sam and Kurt in seconds. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get Kosher-tified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying shh? Let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this. The Kosher Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities. And it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC. Not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Ted Cruz wants El Chapo to pay for the border wall. I think it's a great idea. I'm concerned about asset forfeiture in America against American citizens when there's no due process. That's one clear concern, justifiably so. However, when you're talking about criminal situation where there is due process and you're talking about an illegal drug trafficker, it's a different ballgame. He's not a citizen, first off. He's a national. Secondly, he's been involved in drug criminal activity for decades, and he's already getting due process. Well, anyway, Ted Cruz has a brilliant, brilliant solution that I don't think anybody, even the Donald, I don't think is paying attention. Now, if there's one guy that can get to President Trump, it is Ted Cruz, so that's good news. But Kurt wanted to play this soundbite, and I agree. I want to hear from Ted Cruz. I don't want to hear everything about what Ted Cruz thinks or says or believes or does. I want to hear from Ted. That's one of the things we try to do on your radio. So here's Senator Ted Cruz.
What the El Chapo Act does is real simple. It takes the money, the billions that El Chapo made crossing the border illegally, and it takes that $14 billion and it uses it to pay for the wall.
Normally there's video going on here, folks.
Let's talk about border security. We all know we have 2,000-mile border with Mexico, our southern border. My home state of Texas has 1,200 of those miles. We right now have an incredible flow of human traffickers, of narcotics traffickers coming across the border, and it endangers our national security. It endangers people's lives. Now, how do you stop it? Well, the most natural thing to do is we need to build a wall. We need a barrier that stops the traffickers in their path. Now, as you know, Democrats are so opposed to a wall that they've been willing to shut the government down. And their complaint is, they say, we don't have the money to spend on a wall. Now, set aside for a second, this is the first time in history, think of every spending program that's ever been, it's the first time in history Democrats have ever said we didn't have the money to spend something. Set that aside. They say, in particular, we don't have the money to build a wall. Well, I thought about that and tried to say, all right, is there a solution? Is there a way to do it? And you know what? There is a way to build the wall without one penny of taxpayer dollars. And it's legislation I've introduced. It's calling the Ensuring Lawful Collection of Hidden Assets to Protect Order Act. Now, some of you, some of the more insightful and observant ones, may notice that those particular words are an acronym for the El Chapo Act. Now, what does the El Chapo Act do? Well, it says that we should take all of the money criminally forfeited from El Chapo and from other drug dealers and use it to pay for the wall. Now, where did this idea come from? Well, it came from actually press reports some time ago that said the total value of El Chapo's global criminal net worth was $14 billion. That's a whole lot of money. At the same time, I saw articles that said the cost to build a wall along the entire border was between $14 and $20 billion. Now, there's a natural and elegant symmetry there. What the El Chapo Act does is real simple. It takes the money, the billions that El Chapo made crossing the border illegally, and it takes that $14 billion and it uses it to pay for the wall. And the end result is We have the wall, and we have an essential element to secure the border, and critically, not one penny comes from the U.S. taxpayers. We ought to take this up. This is common sense legislation, but I'm going to make a prediction right now. The Democrats aren't even willing to spend El Chapo's money to build the wall because, politically, they don't want to secure the border. That's not reasonable. That's not listening to the American people. And it's not what we need to do. But this is an easy solution to solve the problem.
It's also not putting America first, I might add, and I think that Ted Cruz is right. I think that's a very good soundbite. I think it illustrates the point very well. The only problem is I don't see even Republicans backing Ted Cruz on this. Do you, Kurt? I mean, I don't see a lot of Republicans talking about this.
Well, that was the amazing thing to me is, I mean, we had to hunt it down, and I don't hear, I don't get to listen to all these media things, every day, like Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, and all that, but I haven't heard any other peeps out of them. I mean, we've talked to kind of like our inner circle, and most people have been really surprised to hear about the idea. Which leads me to believe that they're kind of keeping it a secret, huh? You know what I mean?
Yeah, sadly, I think you're right, and I think that's wrong, and I think we need to stand up for it. But the headline I got, Congressional Democrats vacation in Puerto Rico during the government shutdown. Party on the beach, Kurt.
Yeah, great point.
So what do you think of that? Yeah.
Well, I would call it a snafu, you know, Sam.
Yes. Now, I saw Twitter. I don't know what you call it. I saw a Twitter tweet, I should say, a Twitter feed. Somebody tweeted, and they said, hey, you know what, Donald, it was Rand Paul, who has been working on trying to find a solution to this every time Donald comes and says, come on, guys, I'm in the White House waiting, and I'm kind of holed up here. I was going to go to the Mar-a-Lago, or I was going to go here, I was going to go there, but I'm not. I'm in the White House waiting for you guys to come back and make a deal. These guys are literally partying on the beach in Puerto Rico, Kurt.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how much of our tax dollars are being used for that. While the situation is we're going to basically waste more money, the government shutdown soon to cost more money than the border wall in the first place. This just exposes the Democrats for what they are, Kurt. They're into political device. What's the word I'm looking for? They're into a political divisive scenario over an agenda. That's all it is. They're not looking at the security of America.
Good point.
Wow. All right, conservative groups, I guess targeted in Lois Lerner's IRS scandal, now receive what?
Well, settlement they get checks? They get some money back. I don't know. It's a small amount, it seems like to me. But the point is, at least I think one of the main points is that, finally, there's a little payment. I don't see Lois Lerner paying for it, though. They say the federal government in recent days has been issuing settlement checks to 100 right-of-center groups wrongfully targeted for their political beliefs under the Obama administration's Internal Revenue Service. That's according to an attorney for the firm that represented the plaintiffs. Three of the claimants in the $3.5 million national class action suit are based in the Badger State. Do you know where the Badger State is?
No, I'd have to look it up.
That'd be Wisconsin, so you know.
Yeah, good work. You know, good studying.
They say it's really a groundbreaking case.
Well, I say that's good. And here's what I would say about this, Kurt. I feel very conflicted on this story. On one hand, I'm glad that somebody, you know, sued and got in their face and did something, and I'm glad we got back a token.
Yeah.
Meaning that I'd prefer that versus doing nothing. I'm saddened that all they got was a token. There should be a whole lot more to penalize the IRS. The problem with that is all you do is penalize the taxpayer even harder, right?
good point.
And so what I mean is I feel very conflicted about this. The saddest part of it all is that no real accountability has taken place. In other words, some government entity is going to basically send out a few checks to make the abused people happy, and the taxpayer is just going to take it on the chin, and Lois is going to walk away, and Donald's not going to prosecute, and everybody's going to just happily go their way. The IRS is just going to do it again, though, because we've changed nothing on this, Kurt. So I'm glad
That's
this is the case.
Yeah.
Right? I'm really glad this is the case, but I'm concerned that, again, it's just not enough.
I guess they say about $2 million of the settlement goes to cover legal costs of 5 long years of litigation. That's how that speedy trial thing works in America. IRS attorneys attempted delay after delay, objection after objection, trying to use the very taxpayer protection statutes that the plaintiffs were suing under to suppress documents. The agency has, that's the IRS, by the way, has admitted no wrongdoing in what a federal report found to be incidents.
See, but I think we need to drag this out until they admit the wrongdoing that's taken place, Kurt, until they are accountable to this. And if they're not going to admit it, they should go to jail for their unwillingness to cooperate with this stuff. But anyway, it's a fiasco.
And an IRS spokesman declined to comment, by the way, Sam.
But the good news is, Kurt, they brought a glass of water to a forest fire. And I know it's not enough, but it's better than no water. At least you have something to drink when you get parched at the forest fire. See what I'm talking about?
That's right.
So it's better than nothing. All right, there's a pastor in the news, and I guess this dude got ticketed, Kurt. What for?
Well, you know, we've seen this so many times before. WorldNet Daily brought us this piece. The Riverfront Times is where they originally reported this. And, you know, most of you may not be familiar with the Riverfront Times. I wasn't. But the WorldNet Daily boys bring it forward. It says, pastor ticketed for feeding homeless sues government. Yep. And then they asked the tough question, is giving food to homeless people a crime? And they say that question could be decided in federal court now that a Missouri pastor is suing the city of St. Louis after he was ticketed for providing nourishment to those in need. Hey, what'd you do today, pastor? Oh, got ticketed by the government for giving a homeless person a food. They say the regularly hand out bologna sandwiches, and by the way, bologna spelled bologna, as they travel through the city to pray with others and distribute Christian literature. Sounds pretty terrible, Sam. I mean, you can see where we have, you know, need the, homeless or... anyway, the protection of these people. We got to keep these pastors away from them. They said, we minister to people who helped this guy, you know, goes around to these
homeless. Anyway, bottom line, it's another case where good people are doing good charitable things and they can't compete with the government, so they just shut them down and cause problems. The good news in this case is this guy sued the government, trying to create accountability, and good for him because we need that accountability for sure.
And maybe in about 5 years or something like that, we'll hear about it.
You know, good point. We'll keep an eye on it the best we can, folks. Roberto L. Aceto Escobar. Kurt wants to tell you about this guy.
Roberto.
He's the brother of the dead drug kingpin, Kurt. Papo Escobar.
Oh,
his name is.
This guy
and
put
I guess
together
this
some
guy
bucks.
Had a fundraising page to impeach the Donald, and he raised about $10 million before they shut it down.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, there's folks all over the place, and this is a drug lord, or at least a related to a drug lord, that basically is going after the president, kind of like, I suppose, El Chapo's buddies will be going after Ted Cruz, right, Sam?
I'm sure so. And not only did they refund that $10 million to this drug kingpin brother, he says he's got a ton of secrets on the Donald, and that's why they pulled the plug on him. But GoFundMe pulled the plug on our buddy, the veteran, that tried to raise $20 million raise for the border wall. They pulled the plug on that, and they're refunding money, too.
That's right, Sam.
So GoFundMe's just, you know.
Well, he made a promise that said if he doesn't reach the $1 billion mark, all the money will go back. But he's got an alternate plan as well, so he's moving forward.
And by the way, we'll dig into that too, but the mainstream press just can't stand that either, Kurt. They're having a cow over it. We'll get into that at another story when we can. We're out of time. Hour one of the Can 2 coming up. Sam and Kurt, we declare this nation shall endure.